Welcome to our service for Michaelmas, the feast day of St. Michael and All Angels. This is my last Sunday in paid ministry. I was ordained at Michaelmas 41 years ago, so it seems appropriate to begin with one of my favourite hymns, which Jane and I also had at our wedding 44 years ago. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. It's time for our prayers of penitence. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Michaelmas. Everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted in a wonderful order the ministries of angels and mortals. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve and worship you in heaven, so by your appointment they may help and defend us here on earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o lyfr Genesis. Breuddwyd Jacob. Yma dawodd Jacob y Beersiba a theithio tua Haran. A daeth i ryw fan ac aros noson yno, gan fod yr hail wedi machlud. Cymerodd un o gerrig y lle a'i gosod dan ei ben a gorwedd i gysgu yn y fan honno. Breuddwydiodd ei fod yn gweld ysgol wedi ei gosod ar y ddear a'i phen yn cyrraedd i'r nefoedd ac angylion diw yn dringo a disgyn ar hyddi. A safodd yr arglwydd ger llaw iddo a dweud, Mae fi o'r arglwydd, diw Abraham dy dad, a diw Isaac. Roedd y tir hwn yr wyt yn gorwedd arno i ti a thysgynyddion. Bydd y hil fel llwch y ddeiar y byddi'n ymestyn i'r gorllewin a'r dwyrain ac i'r gogledd a'r de. A bendithi'r holl deliodd y ddeiar yno ti ac yn dy ddisgynyddion. Wele yr oi fi gyda thi, a chadawaf di ple bynnag yr ei, a dofodd hi yn ôl i'r wlad hon, oherwydd nith adawaf nes i mi wneud yr hyn a ddywedais. Pan deffrodd Jacob o'i gwsg dywedodd, y mae'n sicr fod yr arglwydd yn y lle hwn, ac ni wyddwn ni. A daeth arno ofn ac meddai, mor ofnadw yw'r lle hwn, nid yw'n ddim angen na thi i ddiw, a dyma borth y nefoedd. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. To which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, He makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever, and the righteous sceptre is the sceptre of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak you will roll them up, and like clothing they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels spirits in the divine service, sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And this is the word of the Lord.
Gan varia rarum regal, o fenomen.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, beginning in the 47th verse. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." We're at the end here of the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, one of the most famous chapters in our Bibles. It begins with that great theological introduction which we hear as the Gospel at every Christmas time. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God," and so on. But it's actually the second half of chapter 1 that is more typical of John, in which he sets out what it is he wants to show us in his Gospel and how he's going to set about it. And it's more typical of his writing because it's done by a pattern of allusion which is worked into what at first appears just to be a set of events. Here, the events are Jesus calling some of his first disciples, Andrew and Simon, Philip and Nathanael, one by one, and then one finding another. I've shared before with you, I think, that there are two themes running through this narrative. The first is the amazing range of the different titles of Jesus by which John attempts to show the full breadth of his greatness. In John 1, Jesus is the Word of God, the Light of God, the one and only Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one on whom the Spirit descends, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, God's chosen one, the Teacher, the Messiah, the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. And finally here, at the end of the chapter, Nathanael clusters three titles together. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus responds with the final title, which seems to have been his favourite title for himself, the Son of Man. You will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, he says. And so John uses this little encounter between Jesus and Nathanael to round up the first theme which has been running through the chapter since that first reference to Christ, the Word of God. He's given us thereby the fullest picture he can of Jesus' historic significance, both to the Jewish people who knew the law of Moses and ultimately to the whole world, of which Jesus is the true light. John emphasizes this roll call of Jesus' stature and divinity by a persistent pattern of reference to verbs of seeing and looking. In the second half of the chapter, the last 30 verses or so, there are 15 verbs of seeing and looking in just 22 verses. And if you were to include the related verbs of seeking and finding, the number would be even higher. So the titles of Jesus tell us who he is and what he represents, while the verbs of seeing and looking insist that we pay attention, that we come and see. Rabbi, where are you staying? Ask Andrew and another unnamed disciple. Jesus answers, come and see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asks Philip, and Philip again responds, come and see. John is making the point that this is an eyewitness gospel written by one who has really seen Jesus close up, and is inviting his readers to come and see the man whom he has seen, the man who is indeed more than just a man, the Son of God, the King of Israel, Rabbi, and all the other titles which John crowds into the passage. At the end of the Gospel, doubting Thomas will call Jesus by two more titles, my Lord and my God, and Jesus will respond, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Thomas and Nathanael are two examples of one of the most precious aspects of John. In John, perhaps more than any other of the Gospels, we get glimpses inside the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. On the whole, that's not the first thing that you'll be told if you make any kind of academic study of John. Because John is clearly the most patterned of the Gospels, the one most obviously shaped to make theological points rather than just tell you the events of Jesus' life, you'll likely be taught that it is not so historically reliable as Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But that's only a half-truth. And it's the less important half of the truth at that. Our little story this morning gives us a clear example of the two sides of the coin. This really does not look like history. It doesn't read like a conversation that actually happened. Do we really believe that Nathanael tidily responded with these theological titles for the man he's just met, Rabbi? You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, three titles which happily form a tidy climax to the list of titles of the Lord which John has been giving us in the last 20 verses. No, this is literature. It's patterned writing, which is making sure that throughout the chapter the reader has been given the fullest opportunity possible to see and understand who Jesus is, by the range of titles which John ascribes to him, and he'll put them on the lips of Nathanael or whoever is most useful. But on the other hand, there is in this conversation precisely the kind of detail that we only find in John. Jesus says of Nathanael, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. There's nowhere else in any of the Gospels where we find out what Nathanael was like, and what Jesus says he was like is the most convincing detail in this passage precisely because it is unique and because it doesn't fit with the themes of the passage at all. It fulfills no particular theological purpose. It just tells us what one of the disciples was like in a very simple way. It tells us that Nathanael was straight and Jesus liked him for it. Probably they all did, certainly John did, but we wouldn't have found it out anywhere else in the Gospels. It's exactly the same with Thomas. Thomas is named in the other Gospels, but he takes no active role in anything in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's only in John that the story of his doubting happens, and only in John that as the last crisis approaches and Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem to die, it is Thomas who says to the rest of them, "Let us go too, so that we can die with him." By these snippets, the personalities of the disciples come alive for us. It is a precious thing, but more precious still, in the encounter with Nathanael and indeed with Thomas, John makes clear again that his gospel will give his readers not only a sense of what it was like to see Jesus, but also a sense of what it was like when Jesus saw you, when Jesus looked at you. It happens three times in the chapter. As we've already mentioned, two would-be disciples start to follow Jesus. One is Andrew, the other perhaps John himself or his brother James. They were all fishermen together, of course. John makes a point of telling us that Jesus turns round to look at them and sees them before he bids them come and see where he is staying. And then, when Andrew brings his brother Simon, Jesus looks at him, we read, and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." Did it really happen at that moment? Maybe, but it certainly happened sometime. And Peter would indeed become the rock on whom Jesus built his church. And John is making clear that as soon as Jesus looked at him, he knew what potential was in him. And then here, in the story we have today, Jesus sees Nathanael twice. Both of them are miraculous. The first time he sees him under the fig tree when he couldn't have seen him. The second time, when Nathanael approaches him, and Jesus knows his personality in an instant. "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And whether or not it happened precisely like that at that moment, John records for us the precious and authentic fact that when Jesus looked at you, you knew that he knew you. More than that, John himself knew something else, of course. He knew that when Jesus looked at him, he loved him. That's the only name at all that he calls himself by in this gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. For him, at least, but surely for all of them, he knew that when Jesus looked at you, he knew you, and that when he knew you, he also loved you. In our liturgy, there is a moment in the silence before the Kyries when we are invited to recollect before the Lord the things which we would wish to bring to him in confession. At that moment, I often try to remind myself and indeed all of us that we're not going to be telling the Lord anything that he doesn't know already. But more importantly, I like to remind us all that nothing that the Lord knows about us changes his love for us. In our worship, in our times of private prayer, it is obvious to us, doubting Thomases that we are, that now we know these things only in part, as St. Paul puts it. We are always hoping, not always succeeding in worship and in prayer, to catch his eye. Always praying, hoping, and looking forward to the time when we will know fully as we are fully known by the Lord whose eye has fallen upon us. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Ein tad der hynoed yn y nefoedd sancteiddia de enw, deled y dernas gwnele de wyslis, megis yn y nef felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein barab einyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau ninnau ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. So to our intercessions, which are taken today from the work of David Adam, Traces of Glory, Prayers for the Church Year. Let us pray. Lord our God, on the way of goodness, if we stumble, lift us up. On the way of holiness, if we stray, bring us back. On the way of kindness, if we toughen, soften our hearts, that we may draw others to you in your saving power by our words and our example. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Strengthen, O Lord, your church in its care for the needy. We pray for all healers and healing communities, for spiritual guides and counsellors. We remember all who come for forgiveness, hope, and comfort. We commit ourselves to your saving power. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. We pray for all who are seeking to reclaim and restore spoiled areas in cities and towns and in the countryside. Give hope to all those who live in poor housing, or whose land is exhausted, or whose labour is frustrated. Bless all who are caring for and seeking to rehouse refugees. We pray for all who are seeking political asylum in our own country and elsewhere. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Lord, teach us to be open and generous in our dealings. May we dedicate ourselves to the service of others and to you. Bless the communities in which we live and the places where we work. We pray especially for our friends and our families. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Lord of all power, support all whose strength is gone, those who are exhausted, world-weary, who feel dried up, who cannot cope on their own. Remember also those who suffer from plague or malnutrition, from hunger and thirst. We pray for peace. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. We give you praise for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus, for the promise of joy and peace in your eternal kingdom. But we long to see your peace come on earth. We pray that our loved ones departed may be numbered in your peace with your saints in glory. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And so to the mighty God who is able to keep us from falling, to the saving Christ who upholds all who are down, to the powerful Spirit who restores us to life, to our love and life-giving God be glory and praise, for ever and ever. Amen.
Bread of heaven.
And now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.